You're listening to Vectis Radio on FM 104.6, and there's a reason why we're playing that fabulous tune. It was Cassie, by the way, and Change My Image. You're on the other end of this telephone, from Turkey, we should have the guy that was banging the drums. We've got Hugh Kim Lewis. Good afternoon, Hugh.
Good afternoon, Ian. Thanks for your call.
Do you know, it's really good to talk, because we've set this up over the last couple of days, and I've seen a picture of you, and I'm thinking I know you from somewhere, and all that will become clear as the interview unfolds. But we find ourselves in some strange times. That song was from 1982, and for some unknown reason, it all of a sudden, that song is now famous in parts of the world. Do you want to pick up the story?
Yeah, it's thanks. I mean, it's come out of nowhere, really. I mean, back in December, the head of Reminder Records, a guy called Jeremy Thompson, left me a voicemail on my phone. So obviously when I listened to it, I was convinced that it was some old friend of mine on a wind up, basically saying that he'd heard the song and he'd love to get together and do something with us and maybe re-release it. So one thing led to another, and that's exactly what's happened. And sort of 10 days ago it was officially released, and as we're speaking now, I've spoken to a guy in Japan today, and he's selling records, and there's a guy in Austria, and he's vlogging them pretty fast, and the fella in Newport on the Isle of Wight, Andy Barding at AAA Records, he's virtually sold out already. So and that's without America. So it's pretty exciting. I'm really enjoying it.
Do you know, I've got to be honest with you, hearing the song back, I mean, it's people have dubbed it that it's bubblegum punk and so on, but I mean, I love it because it could be back then, and obviously it was out back then, but it fits in with today. It just sounds like it's not gone away. It still sounds refreshing, and it still sounds like it would fit into any radio station's playlist.
Yeah, we think that. We think the words that Debbie, you know, so eloquently wrote were right for the time, and I think they're great for this kind of period that everybody in the world's been through and hopefully coming out of. And it's kind of changed my image, fresh start. It's I think it's uplifting. I think it's bouncy, it's buzzy. We think it's great, and the guys at Reminder have done a brilliant job. They've remastered it, and I think it's fuller, and I think it's got some grit to it as well. And yeah, we're really delighted with it, and we hope that people do pick up on it and play it.
It's just an incredible story, because I'm just thinking, you were formed on the island in 1978. You were a four-piece band. Tell us about the rest of the band and how you got the name Cassie.
Yeah, well, that's this story is quite convoluted, because it's a long time ago, and myself, Debbie, and Eric's memories aren't brilliant, but from what we can sort of put together, the band was formed in 78 with Debbie, Nigel Hales, who was pretty much the founder of the band. In fact, Nigel Hales formed the band before Debbie. So there was a band called, I think initially they were called High Voltage, with Nigel, Eric joined him. My brother, bizarrely, Clive Lewis, was in that band. They then changed their name to Black Dog, and Debbie joined them as a backing singer with her friend Dawn. And then at that point, I believe Debbie was asked to take over the lead vocals, and she did. And then the band became Flirt in around about 1980. And then I joined the band in the January of 1980. In the February of 1980, bizarrely, we had a record label called Video Records, who signed us to a record deal and a publishing contract. And I had to have a day off of school. I was still a schoolboy at Ride High, and I had to get permission to come out of school for the day to actually go over and sign the recording contract and a company in Portsmouth. That led to recording sessions, and then basically that was Flirt. That record never surfaced. And then a bit later, when Wilf Pine got involved with us, he wanted the name changed to Cassie. So that's how, on that long sort of journey, we arrived at the name Cassie.
Wow. I'm still trying to get my head around this story because it is just an incredible thing that, there you go, almost 40 years, what was it, 38 years go by and all of a sudden you get a phone call. And like you said, it must have felt like a massive wind-up. It's not. But what have you guys been doing for 38 years then? I know you didn't break up until about 1985, but are you still friends for a start? Are you still, can you still get on in the same studio if necessary?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have a, you know, a breakup whereby we can't stand the sight of each other. Sadly, Nigel Hales, our guitarist, he passed away 18 years ago, 2002, which was, you know, was pretty hard. Great guy. I mean, he was the glue of the band, really. He was the guy that kind of kept us together and was the pacifist, if you like, of the band. He was great for that. Great songwriter. But anyway, so there's only the three of us left, and Debbie's been living up in London since, I think, probably 85 time. She went into radio, worked at Capital Radio, was personal assistant to Chris Tarrant when he had his Capital Radio show. So she was quite heavily involved there, sung in a couple of bands, I think, in London that didn't really sort of hit the big time. She's now married, lives in North London, happily married, three kids, and she's as over the moon as I am, and shocked by all of it. Eric's still on the island. I believe he's played in some bands. Eric's the one that I lost, and Debbie did, lost contact with, and we probably hadn't spoken for 10-15 years, but this has kind of brought us together again. We just lost contact. We didn't fall out. We just lost each other's phone numbers and stuff. So, and I kind of got out of music and then went into my dual love, which is football. And people on the island, some people will probably remember me through my football career, if you like, which involved playing at a fairly low level. But as a coach, I was proud to get to work for Bournemouth and Portsmouth and overseas a few countries. Applying my trade and I'm in semi-retirement now, and then this has come along and it feels like we've gone full circle.
Do you know, I could just talk to you for an hour on football, because one thing you didn't mention, you used to be manager of Newport Football Club.
I did, yeah. I was the manager of Newport Football Club in the 2006-2007 season. The year before, they'd finished bottom of the league without virtually any points. They hadn't won at home. They were relegated. The Southern League reformed, restructured their leagues and gave Newport stay of execution. We managed to finish third from bottom, but avoided relegation from the Southern League. And then the following year, sadly, they did get relegated. But I guess I could say I was the last manager to not get them relegated.
Right. Do you know, it's really strange because I walk by there on the pitch, obviously the ground that they're now ground sharing with East Keswick's, you probably know, but the actual pitch now is overgrown. It's like 3 foot of grass, and it's quite sad. And my next door neighbour Mick was a big fan and used to never missed a home game. Mick Steed, his name was. He was there week in, week out, cheering on the boys in yellow. Look, let's change tack because otherwise it will turn into a football interview. going back to 1982, and you know, you being in a band, did you? What sort of clubs did you go and play in? Clubs and pubs?
Yeah, I mean, we played at the time. It was a whole different sort of circuit that people played. So, for example, in Ryde, it was the Prince Consort, the La Babaloo Club, Brook House in Binstead, and then you had. You had places like, you know, White Rock that would be held at Putpool. We had a residency at the Royal Sandrock in Knighton, which we love playing. We played the Crown. They used to have live bands there, and the Eight Bells. Yeah, quite a few venues. At one point, we were probably playing three times a week, and you know, fairly popular in some venues, less so in others. I thought Knighton, they loved us over that way. It was full to bursting every time we played there. Brilliant.
Do you know what? You've just taken us down a trip on memory lane, because there's a lot of places there that I used to play at as well, many years ago. But it's fascinating thinking back at those wonderful places that used to have all these bands that were playing. I mean, is there a chance that you could, you know, get back together? I know you're minus one, but would that be the next step? Because just say, for instance, you know, they get hold of this in America and it goes big, they're gonna want you to go over there and play, aren't they?
Well, funny you say that. I mean, when I first spoke to Jeremy, that was loosely discussed in terms of if this thing takes off, what kind of promotional work might we need to look at doing? I mean, you know, Japan is really, really enjoying the song, and there's been loose off the cuff discussions, but in terms of getting back together, I mean, yeah, I mean, it would involve getting another guitarist to play and get together and get the time to rehearse and get the set sort of into shape. But I'd be up for it for sure. And I know Debbie and Eric would. So I think it's all down to the demand. And if it's out there and people would love us to play, then I'm pretty sure we would.
When was the last time you picked up some drumsticks?
I knew this was coming. Actually, well, when I was working in India, I was working at a residential school, and I was the sports sort of guy there. And once a year, they had to put on a show for the kids, all the members of staff. And somehow they figured out that I'd played the drums in a previous life. So they asked me to play the drums for like a 3-4 minute slot. Nobody else, just me. So they set a drum kit up on this stage, and there was probably 1,500 people in this auditorium, and I just did my Keith Moon thing and beat the hell out of it.
How wonderful. I'm just thinking, I mean, we got plenty of time. We all know that we're in a situation now where it's difficult to make any plans whatsoever. And you know, we on the island now, we would be in that position where Sea Close would be decorated. Sea Close would be, so much going on because of the festival and so on. That's been cancelled this year. And I'm just thinking, next year, what about if, you know, Cassie were reformed and played at the Isle of Wight Festival? How great would that be?
Oh, it'd be brilliant. You know, that we'd do that for nothing. I know we would. definitely. We'd love to play that. It would be a special thing. And it would, 100% be great. Yeah, have a word with our friend Mr. Giddens and see if you can get him to do it.
I've already made a note of it. It's already being done. I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna forward your details on, and then you can organise it for next year.
Brilliant. Brilliant. I think, but we would need expenses, though. You know that.
Well, you might. I don't know whether he'd fly you in from Turkey or not, but
no, I'd be. I'm in the UK in the summertime, so not a problem. You know, but yeah. Please speak to him. We'd love to do it.
That'd be fantastic. So, what happens now? Will there be any new music? And you know, you obviously would have played a lot more than just the A side and the B side of a track. You probably had a load more if you were doing gigs and stuff. So what's happening to those tracks? And is there any new ones on the way?
Right. Well, we had a total of 21 tracks that had been properly recorded in the can, if you like, various 4-track, 18, 16, 24-track studios over a 5-6 year period. So there's 21 of them, of which obviously two are now available. The other 19 have been, as we speak, should be winging their way across the Atlantic to New York. And Reminder Records are going to remaster them all. And at that point, when they're remastered, then we're going to talk about the next step. Now, we're having, you know, loose discussions about further singles and album. It's all being discussed as we speak. So I can't confirm anything yet, but it's definitely in the offing. And there's enough material, we think, for 3 or 4 more singles and an album. So if it takes off, then we've got time to get that stuff out there and maybe get on and write something new. Bizarrely, actually, Debbie's told me in the last couple of days that she's come up with a couple of verses and a chorus for potentially for something new. So I think this is maybe inspiring and waking up some long lost skills.
Do you know what I would have said when if she made that phone call? I would have said, "You took your blooming time, didn't you? 35 yeah. years to come up with something new."
Yeah, not the most prolific one.
I mean, it is. The more you delve into this, it is just an incredible story. It really is. And, you know, I've got to be honest. We follow local music on Vectis Radio, and I've followed local music forever and a day. You know, we all know the success that Level 42 have had, and there were other bands that were around back in the late 1970s and the 80s as well that were equally just as good, just as talented. But you obviously passed me by. But having listened to the tracks again, you just think, how brilliant are these? They just sound like singles. They sound like hits. They sound, like I said earlier on, I alluded to the playlist that we have here on Vectis Radio, and it just fits. It just sounds like another hit.
Oh, that's very kind. I mean, hopefully it's on that playlist, so keep plugging it for us, please.
Well, we're going to play the B-side in a minute, which is, I've always been a great believer in, because, you know, we're roughly the same age. I think there's probably about best part of a year between us, you know, where we would have bought singles and we would have played the B-sides.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a crack of the B-side. It's an absolute belter. It's been doing the rounds on the internet, and people are coming back on Facebook and saying, "Oh, I love the B-side," and it's very vibrant. And I mean, as Jeremy, our record company guy, said, there's so much stuff, and he thinks a lot of the stuff that we haven't got out there yet is even stronger than these two songs. So, yeah, we're pretty excited as to what can go on. But you're right, from our era, when you bought a record, you wanted it to have a good A and a good B-side, and I think this fits it.
Well, do you know, it's been a joy to speak to you, and I know that I could carry on talking to you because I know that there's a lot of football, your background of football and so on, and you know, so I could talk about that and, you know, times at Portsmouth and Bournemouth and obviously Newport as well. And it's just really, really strange that I kept looking at a photo of you with your, I'm guessing you still got your mullet.
It was never a mullet. Behave yourself.
And I thought, where do I know you from? And it's I think it's the Newport Football Club thing.
It could be. Yeah, I mean, I've got one of them faces. A lot of people, when they've laid eyes on me, they never forget. So it could be that. I was manager at Vicks as well before that, which was a great time. So it might have been at East Cowes Vicks that you knew me from, or who knows? But yeah, I mean, I've been knocking around the island for years, so quite a few people recognise me.
I've got to ask you, because it stared me in the face when I looked, because I was doing that thing when I was trying, where do I know this guy from? And then I looked and I thought, Hugh Kim Lewis, what did you add the Kim?
Did I add it?
Yeah, because obviously it's like Huey Lewis.
I obviously I was given the name Kim when I was born, but as a child I didn't like it. But as I got older, I've grown to like it. I think it's I like it as a name, so I've inserted it back. I'm just, like a cricketer, you know, they always have a middle name, don't they? you know, yeah. No, I just like it. But people have always called me Huey Lewis, and you know, where's the news, Huey? And I had to go. I had all that when he was famous, obviously. So I've put it back in. It wasn't prevalent maybe 10 years ago, but I use it all the time now.
Fantastic. Hey, look, we're going to play the B-side of the track that we've just played you, Change My Image, well, some while ago now, and this is Will You. And when I looked at it, first of all, I thought, oh, no, they've covered the Hazel O'Connor track, but it's nothing like it. Do you want to talk us through it?
Yeah, what can I say? It's a mixture of styles, let's say that. That's probably the best way to describe it. It jumps between, I think, two kind of genres, but it fits because the bridge works. So yeah, it's different, isn't it?
I love it. I love both tracks. I can't wait to hear some more. Which leads me on to how can we get more music, you know, from yourselves? Is there a website that we can go to, or what do we have to look out for?
Well, there's nothing at the moment. The other 19 songs, there was a period of time when they were on a website and available to hear, But the record company, they've been taken down now because they want to get them remastered before they become available again. So at the moment, what's out there is this single, and then there's a track on the Isle of Wight compilation album called Feet on the Street, which came out in 1984. Now, we've got a track on there called The Light Shines On, which is quite a good track as well. And there's a song called Find a Way, which you can get on YouTube. If you type in Cassie Find a Way, you'll find one more. So at the moment, there's four songs out there. But as I say, the record label aren't keen at the moment to have it too soon. They want to work on the tracks, and when they come back out, you know, be really proud of them.
Just take us back, if you can remember, the other tracks that are on this other Isle of Wight featured album in 1984. What kind of other tracks, other bands are on?
Oh, it's a whole mixture. It was arranged by a guy called Rod Gammons, who went on to be a massive success as a record producer in London. But he used to live out in Bryston, and he put together this compilation album. He had a studio at his bungalow in Bryston. So he invited a number of bands that he had heard demos of or were just made aware of. People like the Mechanics, you probably remember them from the early 80s, Garage Band, the Waltons, ourselves, and a bunch of other stuff, really. Mumbo Jumbo, Niels Desperandum. I'm just trying to pull stuff out of the air now. You put me on the spot because it's a mixture of styles. There's a couple of heavy rock type songs. There's a sort of reggae. It's a compilation album of all different styles of island bands of that time that Rod put together and got out there.
Fabulous. And I know that some of them, I mean, are still going now. There's a band called Bobby I Can Fly. You must remember them.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I'm not sure if they're on that album, but I know them.
Yeah. It's funny. A guy that used to knock around with, I saw him the other day, funny enough, Mark Wozencroft, he used to bang the drums for him.
It's a noble art. There should be more of us.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Hey, look, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I wish you every success.
Likewise.
And I'm really hoping that we can do another interview in a couple of weeks' time, you know, when this all kicks off. But equally, I'd like to talk about football for an hour as well and see what your thoughts are of, you know, football around the world at the moment, because you're probably the perfect person to ask, because you've been around the world and you've been to India, you've been, you know, you're in Turkey now. So that will be, I look forward to talking to you about football, because that's my thing. But I really hope that we can come back in a couple of weeks, maybe a month's time, and see if there's any news on new tracks and obviously that big gig at the festival next year, which I'm going to be sorting out for you.
You're a top man, Ian. Well, look, we need a manager, so you sound like the ideal guy.
Okay, do you want to introduce your song before you go?
Yeah, I think you're about to play Will You, which is the B-side of our new single on Reminder Records. You can get the single from reminderrecords.com or they're stocking it in Newport at AAA Records. So either source, whatever's best. But Will You, from the 82 single, B-side of Change My Image.
Thanks, Hugh.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks, Elaine. Thanks again.